Kia ora, welcome to the Power Up Podcast, powered by Te Puna Umanga, Venture Taranaki, and produced by Raw Collective. This podcast highlights and celebrates Taranaki business owners doing awesome things across the region. We talk to trailblazing founders and entrepreneurs to get the inside word of their journeys. It's a glimpse into the reality of success stories, where people talk about their wins, challenges, and how living in Taranaki shapes their work and lifestyle. I'm David Downs, and this is the latest in a series all about exceptional Taranaki businesses and thriving Taranaki people. Nau mai, haere mai, we welcome you to hear all about our enterprising story like no other. Lisa Deakin and Leanne Snowden are co-owners of Down to Earth Organics, which they describe as a hub of holistic health, full of everything you need. It was actually started in 1979 and was one of the first organic stores in New Zealand. Lisa and Leanne are old school friends and bought Down to Earth Organics in 2020. Lisa and Leanne talk about the less than ideal circumstances that led them to buying the business and the realities of taking over an established business and breathing new life into it. They go into how they've built a real community around their store and how they've transformed their friendship into a business relationship. A lot of friends might talk about going into a business together, and Lisa and Leanne are real life examples of what it can look like, for better or worse. Welcome to both of you to the podcast. It's great actually to have another kind of couple, but a different type of couple. We've had a few married couples, but it feels like you guys have known each other so long, you almost are married. You met at high school or something?
Yeah, we did.
Well, yeah, we were both at high school, but different high schools. Oh. So, yeah, we're about 16, so.
But you've obviously been friends since the very beginning, and obviously friendship has led to now setting up a business together. So if you were describing to someone who had never been into Down to Earth or your online store, what is Down to Earth?
Yeah, Down to Earth is a holistic hub of health and wellness. It's kind of your one-stop shop as well, that you could get everything that you needed from, you know, a loaf of bread, butter, milk. But you could also come and talk to a practitioner and get a supplement, skincare products.
Yeah. It's in a nutshell, it's a health store. It's like a natural health store. But it's been modernised and we've added like the cafe space and eco homewares, grocery.
Yeah, and it's a shop where you can come in and you can trust the brands that you're buying, because we have done a lot of research. We've looked at every single thing in that shop. We've got our practitioners that have looked at them as well.
Every ingredient.
Every ingredient. Make sure there's not too much greenwashing. And so it's a trusted store that you know you'll be getting some good stuff for health and wellness.
Fabulous. And Lee, you've got an interesting background in yoga, nutrition, skincare. Was that a career for you?
Yeah, it certainly was. I had my own business for seven-ish years as working with skincare in the healthcare industry. That was down in Wellington. So yeah, I was a territory manager and I was also a trainer of therapists within the skincare industry. I was travelling around. It was a very different life back then. It was a great career at that time. Yeah, I built it up. Yeah, it was a great career. It was very different from what I'm doing now. But it kind of, you know, my job that I'm doing now kind of stemmed from that because I was working in sales and business.
Yeah.
But because I didn't go to uni after school, I wanted to study. So during this career that I was doing, I also really wanted to get to study nutrition. And also I was really interested in yoga and developing my own practice in yoga. So as I was working, you know, 40 hours or whatever you do, I was also studying. I was studying health science, just the odd paper here or there. And I wanted to develop my own yoga practice. So I started, I did a 6-month yoga teacher training course within that time too. So, and that was more to develop my own practice, but I was offered a job at the end of it. And I started teaching some yoga. When I was pregnant, I was teaching pregnancy yoga. And so, yeah, I was kind of transitioning out of that sales job into more of a holistic kind of lifestyle job.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Gosh. And then you lost your job unexpectedly, I heard, in 2020.
Yeah. I was in the media industry and for Bauer Media.
Yeah.
We used to be ACP in publishing. And, yeah, we had this kind of mass redundancy. I think 250 people on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Dumped. It was brutal because we were all at home, of course, because it was lockdown.
Yeah.
So everyone's alone with their screen just going, what? Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes life gives you a bit of a kick in the pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't help but notice, by the way, Lisa, that you may be hapu yourself.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So clearly both of you have had to juggle, the real juggle for mothers of, you know, having children and keeping your careers going and those sorts of things. And how have you managed that, and given you're, I think, 8 months pregnant at the moment?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you think about that juggle?
Yeah, it is a real juggle. I think it's fantastic being in business with someone who's also had kids.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from Lee, her kids are a little bit older, they're more primary school. So different stages. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it's not an uncommon thing for any woman, regardless if you're running a business or just employed. Yeah, you just, I guess we have the flexibility to make it work around our families. Yeah. And that was always really important to us. It's kind of family first. And yeah, we make it work. You know, if my son's in store, I'm like, oh, Instagram opportunity, give him something, take some photos of him. You know?
Oh, like, are you an influencer mum?
I'm always just trying to exploit my 3-year-old for our business.
Beautiful 3-year-old. Yeah, yeah, with his long, been wavy, promoting the new, here.
Yeah, oh. Promoting our new kids' smoothie. But, yeah, it's just kind of like just all merges into one, I guess.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
But this is the thing then. So you because we've jumped ahead a little bit, but clearly there was a point in time when you had your independent careers and you're doing your own thing, yoga practice, London, France, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you decided to go into business together. Was that always a plan? Had you thought about that?
No. Because even though I was in media prior to Down to Earth, before that it was fashion, wholesale.
Yeah.
So very, very far removed from the organic world. I think for Lee it was more of a natural transition.
So where it stemmed from was I had been, you know, I had my career, then we moved to France. We had the opportunity to move to France, which was amazing opportunity. But within that time, I couldn't work over there because of my visa.
Right.
So I finished my studies and then I finished that. And then I was really looking for a new opportunity, a new thing to get stuck into, because I do love working. I love to be busy. I always have. So I was kind of trying to figure things out. It was quite tricky over there just with the language. Mm.
All those baguettes, all that beautiful cheese and wine.
Yeah, it's tricky. Well,
that's
so tricky, hard times, I know. Oh my gosh. But no, I was doing, I was just trying to, you know, you kind of lose yourself when you're a mother as well. And when you're out of the game for a while, you lose your confidence. I actually struggled a little bit with postnatal with my first son. And yeah, so I was just trying to really get back into it. And then, so Lisa knew that I have always wanted to own a holistic hub. Because I've kind of, living in Wellington, used to go to Common Sense all the time. I've been very fortunate to travel quite a bit with my husband's career, and we've done our own personal travelling as well.
Yeah.
And so wherever we would go, I would always hunt out the organic shops or different holistic places. My brother lives in Sweden. He's an acupuncturist. And so I'd go and visit him and, you know, have some acupuncture treatments and do all these other things. So she knew that was a real big passion of mine. Mm. And then, yeah, it was just all about timing, really.
Yeah, so when I got made redundant, it was like blessing in disguise, I guess, looking back.
Mm.
Kind of had 3 months off. We were all locked down, so it was like, right, you know, that whole DIY thing, paint the house with the husband.
Make sourdough.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
collect get the toilet sourdough. Paper, all the stuff we did during COVID, yeah.
And then after, you know, after that little kind of, I guess, holiday, started looking for jobs, as you do, and then I just started looking at, like, some businesses for sale, on Trendy, I think it was, or something, and, yeah, saw Down to Earth for sale, and instantly thought of Leanne, and as a bit of a, like, bit of banter, bit of a joke, just text her and said, oh, look, your shop's for sale. You know, you should move home kind of thing. And
it was quite good timing because, the silver linings of COVID.
Yes.
We were in COVID in France. It was quite a strict lockdown and we had been, I don't know for how long, like, I don't know, 8 months or more, you know, in lockdown. We were trying to figure out what we were doing, whether we would try and stay there or we'd relocate back to New Zealand. And then, Lee sent me this message. And I was like, oh, wow, this is a sign, because this is always, you know, something I wanted to do. And I knew Down to Earth, and every time we came home, I'd go to Down to Earth, and I loved it. Such a good experience, mainly because of the staff. They're so great. So, yeah, I saw it as a sign, really wanted to look into it more, explore it, got some good people to look into, like, the numbers, the business side of things, and it all kind of added up.
Yeah,
oh,
really.
Cool. But you couldn't come home initially, could you?
We couldn't come home because we were actually stuck. You had to go into a pool to get a flight to come home. My husband had a contract over there, so we couldn't just leave. But we were kind of trying to figure out what we were going to do because of COVID. We were really happy in France up until COVID because we had visitors all the time. Yeah, and we could come home when we wanted to.
Yeah.
So during that time, we couldn't do any of that. So we were like, oh, getting really homesick.
Mm.
So, yeah, no, we started looking into it. And then it was like, wow, this is, you know, it's, this business has some really good potential. It's a great business. I really wanted to push for it. But, yeah, we were like, oh, how do we make this work? We're in France. How can we make it work? We need to find, like, it's an established business. It's working really well. We just need to find someone who can run it and lead it.
Yeah.
And so we approached, we actually thought for a while. I thought about Lisa and I was like, nah, she won't want to do it. And then, yeah. And then we actually approached her about it and kind of offered her more of a, like, project management role so she could manage the store. And she didn't hear from her for a couple of days, so thought, oh, nah, she's not into it.
She was busy making sourdough.
Yeah, she was busy making sourdough, thought, nah, she's not interested. And then, yeah, she got back to us and said, yep, I'm keen, but I just want to be a bigger part of this business because I can see, could see more potential.
Yeah, it was such a pivot for me. You know, I kind of went from going to Fashion Week to Organic Week. It was so different.
Yeah.
But there's so many parts of this role that have transferred over. And really helped us from like a marketing PR point of view.
Yeah. So you ended up buying the business then.
Yeah. And my
and then you ended up running it for a while.
Once we took over, Lee was always involved. So it wasn't me on my own. She was in the background doing a lot of admin, a lot of background stuff. And I was kind of raised in shops too. My parents had retail stores.
Okay.
Since I was, yeah, I don't know, 5 or 6 or something. So I really had a real true understanding of what it takes to have a physical bricks and mortar store and the hours and the commitment and that kind of thing and sales experience. So all that stuff wasn't scary for me.
Right.
But it was just, the, like Lee mentioned, the potential in that business because it had been around at the time for like 40 years, a long time.
Yeah.
And it had been in that location the whole time.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think at that stage it only had like 4 owners.
Wow.
And, yeah, and then working in magazines and stuff, like we had, you know, health and wellness magazines and even, like, the fashion magazines I worked in would have, like, the wellness and well-being section were becoming bigger and bigger. So it was just that time where wellness was really kicking off as well. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see we could add some more value here. There's so much more we could do.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what was it like to buy a business that's already established? You sort of walk in on day one and the customers are in there.
Yeah.
They're kind of expecting stuff. Did you make changes on day one or did you sort of let it ride for a while until you understand it more? What was that like?
We were really mindful of not making big drastic changes straight away. We just really wanted to learn and observe. And because it came with an established team that were, like, incredible, they're so smart, they'd been there a long time, some of them over a decade at the time. So we were just like, let's just watch, learn, observe, and get to know the customers as well.
Yeah.
And just see the mechanics of running it and where the weak spots were or the good parts of it and how we could add value and where to start, really, because there was a big long list of exciting things we wanted to do.
Right. But you've got to, I suppose it's a balance, isn't it, between kind of honouring the legacy of a 40-year-old business and the customer's expectations. And there's often a sense of ownership, isn't there? The customers feel like they kind of own this brand.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Who are you two coming in and changing?
Yeah, who are you? And especially, like, you know, if we, like, moved the bread shelf, you know, there would be pushback. Like, where's my bread? You know, like, where's the bread gone? It's been there for 30 years. So, yeah, we're very mindful of just softly, softly, easy, easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. Yeah. You know, that came with challenges also. But
being an established business, yeah.
Yeah. But we just made changes very gently. And I think we've just been so lucky just to play talk more about the staff. Like, we've had some staff who've been there for 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
And so they know everything. They know so much more than us.
Absolutely.
And that's the beauty of buying an established business that was running.
You said you, when you're a customer, you went there because you appreciated the staff. And that's true, I'm sure, of many of the customers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. And the person we bought the business off, her mother still works for us and her sister has now been promoted. She's actually the manager.
Wow.
So,
yeah, and she's a shareholder. So she's a part of the business now.
She's entwined.
Yeah.
She is. And her daughter, lovely. 2 daughters work for us.
Yeah, the students.
Yeah, so it's quite a family kind of lot of history there.
That's great. Mm. And what was it when you first looked at it? What was it that excited you about this opportunity?
I think it was obviously the industry, being in organics, you know, it's quite a positive thing to be part of.
Yeah.
It's just promoting health, well-being, and that's what we're all about. The potential that, you know, if we modernised it a little bit, it has some great potential there.
Just don't move the bread.
Just don't move the bread.
All you want, yeah.
Yeah, the exciting part was just the potential and what it is and what it stands for and the values. Mm. Yeah. And I think also just now working in there, we're so fortunate to work with such an incredible bunch of ladies. It's lovely.
Oh, lovely. That's great. And that was 2020, that was, you know, when you first started. It's not that long ago, but you've made some changes since then. It feels like the business has come along.
For me, like, the potential that really stood out from a marketing point of view was, like, there was no real digital presence.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a quick win I thought we could add to the business, add that value. So, you know, e-commerce, we've launched a loyalty program and put a real focus on our social media. So they were kind of like, that was an easy place to start.
What sort of things did you do?
Point of view.
Insta, TikToks.
Oh, I can't do the TikToks. It's just
yoga sort of lends
itself
to
TikToks. We're in our 40s. I don't know. Do people do TikTok when they're in their 40s? Yeah. Sorry, they do.
Yeah, like 80-year-olds who TikTok.
Sorry.
But you saw that the customers responded to the social media and the digital outreach and stuff like that.
Yeah. And just to create more, I think, more of a brand. And so we kind of refreshed the logo, and then we started, like, using that logo in different places. You know, we've got some products now with it on, and people tend to... Well, they buy it, which we were kind of shocked at. But
yeah,
so it's not as much just a shop now. It's also a brand. Yeah, and it's a kind of a lifestyle thing you buy into.
Yeah, and it's opened up customers outside the region. So that was really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. We have a lot of customers in Auckland, South Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've got a whole new online channel.
Yeah.
And you've moved, I hear.
Yes.
Not just the bread, you've moved the whole lot.
That was a major.
That was a major. And we had always thought about moving and relocating or opening a secondary store.
Mm.
But the problem with the store that we'd been in or had been in for 40-something years, we'd outgrown it.
Yeah.
We didn't have – we were all kind of – three of us were in the back office. It was very – a broken up kind of shop and needed a new roof.
There were lots of issues.
There's no parking.
Yeah.
We'd definitely outgrown it. So the new space – have you been in, David?
No, I haven't. Must do.
You've got to come in.
Yeah.
Have a coffee with us.
Oh, wow. Organic coffee.
Yeah, organic.
So where did you move to?
We've moved to Strandon.
Nice.
So we're just up from East End Beach.
And did you? Yeah. Oh, East End Beach. My wife's from here and she always talks about East End and Back Beach. They're her favourite places in the world.
Yeah, you can see the sea from the counter.
No.
So dreamy.
That was the selling point, right?
Yeah.
So you oriented your foot, you can see that you can see out to sea as the customers are standing in front of you, kind of peer around them.
Yeah.
Look out
to
sea.
Well, we're in the business of feeling good and well-being.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is going to make our team feel better. Like, it just got a good vibe.
You get all those... And I'm going to get way out of my comfort zone. Positive ions flying through. And you would know this.
The vibes are high. Yeah.
Very
staff
good.
Can run down, you know, good and have a swim during their breaks.
Oh.
Not that any of us do that, but we should.
We should.
At a moment's notice.
But we could. Yeah.
And how did the customers react? Because you're saying if they were worried about moving the bread counter, well, you moved the whole damn thing. So
we were so worried
And it wasn't our intention. We didn't plan to move over the other side of town at all.
No.
Yeah.
We'd been looking at lots of different buildings, lots of different locations. But, you know, something you want to move into, we needed parking, we needed space. Yeah, a lot that we looked at just didn't fit, did it?
Yeah, it's hard to find. Yeah, we probably would have liked to have been a bit closer to where we were. But, when the shoe fits, the shoe fits.
Did the customers follow you? Did they make the extra trek?
Yeah, we've been very lucky.
Really lucky. And when we announced it on social... It was like, okay, what is everyone going to say? But it was overwhelmingly supportive. Mm. So we're very, very fortunate.
They probably like the fact that there's now parking. I mean,
they really
like
do.
A bonus.
Like, it comes down to those basic things. The amount of conversations about parking is unbelievable. But people love parking and Plymouth.
We were so worried, though, weren't we? We were worried that when we opened the doors, we're like, oh, is anyone going to come?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've committed to this massive big building.
Yes.
Huge lease.
Yeah.
It
just drives us to make sure it's worth the drive. I mean,
Six minutes.
It's the same road or street.
Yeah. It's a destination, though, isn't it? Your shop
it is
a destination. It's not, you're not just popping when you're passing. You actually choose to go.
So we've been really... mindful of that and make sure, like, now we've got this, like, cafe space so people can come and also get, like, a smoothie or, you know, some vegan eats to take home or something like that. And, you know, we've expanded our offering, the brands, so we've just got to make it really worth it for them.
So how do you two divide the responsibilities of running a business between the two of you?
Mm.
And
Well, we're so lucky because we have Hayley, who is the shareholding manager.
Yep.
So she runs the store.
Right.
She's the manager now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a clear-cut division, actually, between the two of us, because Lisa does the marketing, advertising, does a lot with the website. That's her specialty, the creative side. And I suppose I do more of the, I don't know, the admin.
The admin, the general management, back office.
Back office.
Hot dog.
Right. Now, have you ever had friction? No. When have you last had friction, put it that way? Of course, you've had some friction.
Well, I think you were saying it that earlier. Business partner is like, it's like having
marriage.
A marriage.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's going to be compromise and, you know, I suppose we kind of bang heads a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, and we're very different. So that's been, I think, super positive because we bring different perspectives and all our customers are different.
Yeah.
So it's just a respect thing where we respect each other's opinions, but it might not always be the same.
Yeah.
But I think that adds to the business.
Because reality.
We get through them.
Because it's helpful. I mean, people hear about, you know, businesses and it always feels great. But if there's times when it's not great, there must be times when it's difficult.
I also think, like, Leanne's never was, she's not my best friend. Like, I wouldn't go into business with my best friend. No. She's a very good old dear friend.
She's not that old.
Do you know what I mean? Old friend.
Yeah.
No, I'm older. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that story where best friends go into business, quite often you do hear of that.
Yes.
Yeah. You hear horror stories, don't you?
Yeah.
But, and I mean, yeah, you've just got to be very careful who you go into business with.
Yeah.
Maybe not family, maybe not best friends, because your relationship does change.
It'd be super awkward if right now Lee said, actually, you are my best friend.
Yeah. we'll talk about that later. No, but when you go into business with someone you've already got a relationship with, like, there's just this incredible layer of trust that you already have to start with.
Yeah, and respect, obviously, because you chose.
Respect.
I mean, the fact
trust
that Lisa highlighted the opportunity to Lee, and then Lee, you said, actually, do you want to get involved? And then it's like you obviously.
Yeah, and I think also having two people that maybe have different strengths, because I think if you did have a friendship where you had the same strengths, that potentially could be more friction.
Yes.
Yeah. And I understand even the original store owner is part of the organisation as well, one of your suppliers.
Oh, yeah, so with that, so Keith Plummer and Dave Marshall founded Down to Earth in the 70s. Dave's an old family friend who came to our wedding. He's a bit of a legend down the coast. And then his business partner, Keith Plummer, he does honey.
Yep.
He's a beekeeper and he does beautiful honey. We have his honey in store.
Oh, there you go. Keith's so it's very
brand.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does he ever come into the store and go, oh, wouldn't have done that?
Yes.
Why'd you put the moon over there?
Oh, well, no, he doesn't do that. But I think he was very, with the move, which is understandable.
He was a bit like, whoa, about the move. But no, he's been great. You know, he's seen it. He loves it. And it's humming. And I think for them, it's pretty cool. It's something that they cooked up and started. And it's neat for them to come in and see it thriving.
Yeah.
I see them every week, really. Every couple of weeks. Yeah. They're very supportive.
And how do you, going back to sort of running a business, you know, as busy mums in life, how do you find that balance of working in and on a business and bringing up young children? And any tips or tricks for anyone?
It's a bit of a work in progress all the time, just to try and find that balance of feeling like you're achieving at work and then you're achieving at home, you know, with your kids and spending enough time with them. But I think owning a business, there is that flexibility, which is great as well, especially the way we've got it set up, to be able to be present and be there when the kids have things, activities, camps. That's really great.
School holidays
are tricky. Yeah, and also I've got a husband who works from home currently, so he is
handy.
Very involved with the kids, unless he's away, which he's away at the minute. But so it works. It's working quite well for us.
Yeah. And I think too, like, it would be a lot harder if we had it on our own. But because there's both of us, one of us can normally step up when the others, you know what I mean? So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And if there's a kid sick or whatever, both of us straight away to each other are like, oh, you good, go to that. Like, don't even worry about work. So it's having that backup support that I find really lovely. It makes it easier.
It's important. It sounds like it's a really key thing. You've designed that, though. This is not coincidence. You've created for yourselves a business and a life that can work in that way to support you at this stage of your professional development and career. Where do you think it's going to go? Because you sort of teasingly said earlier you're growing from a small to medium and you think now doing national stuff. And have you got aspirations for the business to grow?
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. I mean, the move has been It's been a big move, but we've actually just relocated an existing business, established business, into a new building.
Yep.
So it is, you know, that was just a big move. But it, yeah, it is growing, and we certainly have some goals and ambitions, and we've got to keep it. We've got to keep the doors open. So it's forever growing, isn't it?
Yep.
You've got to be evolving. You've got to be keeping up with what the market's doing.
Yep.
There's always research going on.
You're going to go to some trade shows, maybe in Aussie this year.
Yep. Absolutely.
Find new brands. You've got to get onto new brands because, you know, the supermarkets are poised and ready to swoop into these.
Into your space.
Yeah.
And being a small business, we just can't. Competing with prices is really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a big responsibility. Like, we've got 14 staff, got to pay them every week and keep them happy and nurture that, suppliers, everything. So, yeah, we've definitely, the levelling up's been awesome, but we've also taken on a much bigger responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's exciting. This year is really exciting, what will come of it. And definitely got some things in the pipeline. And also just got to maintain, right? Just got to settle into the new shop. And
I'm obviously going on maternity leave.
So, there you go.
So Lisa's leaving.
That's great.
Yeah.
Any moment now, by the look of it.
Any moment. Any moment.
And what advice have you got for people who are looking to buy a business that's established? Would you do it again? Is it an attractive idea to buy rather than start something yourself from scratch?
Hmm. Well, I suppose when you buy an established business, you don't have so much risk involved in a way, because you're guaranteed that customers will hopefully come. Yep, I would do it again.
Yeah, I would too.
Especially now that we've learned so much from taking on an established business, if we were to take on another one.
Yeah, and I think, and especially in this climate, you know, like starting something new, it's a lot pretty risky unless you're, I don't know. But it's a bit of a walk-up start, like Lee said. It's you open your doors and the people are already coming, so.
You started with a positive thing. Yeah, yeah. Cool.
It's just like updating procedures and policies and certain things, systems that maybe were established by someone else over the years, and that's the more challenging part, but it's totally doable.
Yeah, and also with our customers, we just so much praise to them, and thank you so much for supporting us, because without you, you know, we
they're amazing.
We can't keep our doors open and doing what we're doing, so yeah we feel very overwhelmed.
It's a very like chatty store. Like, customers come in and hang out, and you know about their family and their animals and their holidays, and it's more than a shop, and that was something I realised quite quickly in there.
It's a social hub.
It really is.
And a community.
It's a real community. Yeah. People are like swapping recipes in there, and can I borrow your kombucha Scooby? And
your what?
Scoby.
Scooby-Doo.
Well, I think our point of difference, which is really cool to help build on relationships as well, which we've got so many incredible ones with our customers, but we have the health practitioners, got two naturopaths and a homeopath.
Oh, okay.
So you can come in and you can get free advice, a 15-minute consult for free, just to help guide you if you're needing some health, you know, you've got any health issues.
Your chakras realigned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we don't have anyone to realign chakras, but I mean, sure.
But we could recommend someone.
Yeah, we could.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got a great community board with lots of
fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, my final question for you, I always ask this one, what is the best and worst bits of business advice you've had?
We were just chatting about that, because we've definitely had some good advice, and we've been very fortunate to be surrounded by some great business advocates.
We've got, like I said before, we've always had mentors. And we've always taken advice from our accountants.
In Taranaki, there's some fantastic entrepreneurs and people doing incredible things, and we've just been lucky to have some advice from them.
Yeah. So we haven't had really that much bad advice, because I think we've chosen clever people.
Yeah.
Much cleverer than us.
Yeah, much cleverer than us. So
we've
talked us out of the bad advice that we've probably suggested. Certainly had good advice. I think be clear to be kind has been one of the best things that we've been.
Oh, from one of our HR.
Yeah,
be clear to be kind. Is that when you're talking to someone about something that's maybe not going so well, and you actually just need to be clear about what?
Yeah, you need to be clear in business. You need to be transparent with your staff and what you're doing.
Direct.
Direct. That's more from an HR point of view. But yeah, and that's where we've looked at that and we've started.
Yeah, it's good when you're having those tough, kind of courageous conversations.
Yeah.
Because if they can understand exactly what you're actually meaning and you're not going around and around and around and getting all fluffy, then they're going to be able to take that on and
do something with it.
Yeah, exactly. So we do bring that up quite a bit, eh?
Yes, we try our hardest.
And then something that I learnt more in media was like, it's that kind of 80%, 100% kind of rule where you just aim for 80% and be happy with that. that I'm a bit of a perfectionist sometimes, so that has been kind of given me permission to just like, actually, that's good enough,
yep.
because the world is just getting busier and busier. And, you know, sometimes, especially with marketing, you're writing copy and like pouring over that one sentence and actually that's okay, that's good enough, move on to the next thing.
Yep.
So I try and keep that front of mind too.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good yeah. advice. Great advice.
Do you have any good advice for us? Because you're look. You've done some incredible things. So what can you help us
She's turned it on its head again, this book. I think, I mean, running a business is a lifestyle choice, not just a you know, yeah. a transactional thing. And
totally.
I think making sure you always find time for yourself and your family and separate it out from the business itself,
yeah.
you know, because it becomes very quickly it's intertwined. Do, yeah, it's hard to do. And it's particularly
hard. Boundaries.
Finding the boundaries, yeah, because you've invested a lot of yourself in it, but it is not you, you know, so you've got to
That's true.
Care deeply. Mm. Like a phrase I use is care like a mother, which I'm yes. now telling a couple of mothers, yeah. but it's not you. So it might be yeah. defined by it, success or failure or whatever it might yes. be. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think we get that a bit too, because we took on a brand that already existed. So yeah. it doesn't feel like we birthed it. So
oh God, we are getting all mothering.
Yeah,
with
we're
our,
getting really
graphic
like,
now.
Yeah, we're getting yeah, right into the
It's more than us.
The maternity
it's
ward.
The team. It's the,
it is.
Yeah, it's so much more than us. So.
You're almost like the kaitiaki of this particular business, not yeah. really the owners. You're guiding
yeah.
and
we've
and
always felt like a guardian and that responsibility just to keep nourishing her and so she can go on to that next generation.
Wow.
Yeah, deep.
That is very deep, very mm-hmm. mothery. Well, thank you both so much for sharing your wisdom, your motherly advice with us.
Mm.
And I will pop in. For yep. a cup of coffee or something.
Come for
some
a matcha
point.
Or a
yeah, yeah.
chai.
Yeah, yeah. You can yeah, come and look at my aura or something.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway,
should we
awesome.
Take offense of that?
No, not at all. Well, I hope I've got a nice aura.
You do.
Oh, thank you. Awesome.
Thanks Kia ora. So much.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening, and a special thanks to Venture Taranaki for making this Power Up podcast possible. If you enjoyed this episode, there are plenty more like it. Check out the Power Up Podcast home on whatever platform you're listening to. They're a great way for budding entrepreneurs to learn from the lessons of others. Speaking of people trying to build businesses, Venture Taranaki is a great place to go for free startup clinics, advisory support, business mentoring, masterclasses, investment support, and networking opportunities. If you want help bringing your idea to life, talk to Venture Taranaki today. And one more thing, if you've got this far and you've enjoyed the episode, please rate it, review it, or subscribe for more. It helps others find us.